Chair.
May I also at this stage, on behalf of the Special Investigating Unit, send our heartfelt condolences to you and the family. Honourable Minister, good morning. Honourable members of the committee, board members of the NLC, DG, the other officials, sorry, and the officials of the Special Investigating Unit. Honourable Minister has already mentioned myself and Mr. Lakgetho. I'll just indicate quickly who else is joining from the SIU team, Honourable Chair. I'm also joined by Dr. Wells, who's the Chief Legal Counsel, because there's a whole lot of legal measures that are outcomes. And then we're also joined by Mr. Khanyako, who is the spokesperson of SIU, Mr. Mashudu, who is the lead investigator, he's the forensic investigator, the specialist, and then Mr. Mataba is a forensic lawyer guiding the investigation towards the legal outcomes. And then we've got Advocate Isafi, who's also a member of the civil litigation team. He's the senior manager there. Because there's a whole lot of matters that we are putting through civil litigation process. And we're now also joined by Advocate Rulani. He's also a senior manager in the civil litigation team. Honorable Chair, without wasting time, we will then proceed with our investigation, our presentation. As the Honorable Minister has said, we are presenting today most of the content that are in the interim report based on phase one of our investigation. Mr. Lakgetho, if you can just slide down. Right, this is just a presentation outline. As I said, we will present mainly on the four items. I'll not go into detail on the legislative mandate or the operating model. We will go directly into the outcomes and the investigations. If we can go to the slide on outcomes, please. Right, I just want to spend a few minutes on this slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. You will see that the investigations have reached several outcomes. And as we presented before to the Honorable Committee, that our investigations and as we gather evidence, and the evidence points to certain outcomes, irregularities, corruption, maladministration, we then produce several outcomes. In the main, we will also indicate that on the left-hand side, there are processes that we are following based on the evidence that we are putting through civil litigation process to recover the monies that the National Lotteries Commission has lost. And as we do so, there are various actions that we take towards the civil litigation and recovery. Those are interim measures that we put in place to ensure that when we ultimately get the orders to recover, we've got the monies, you know, to recover, such as freezing of assets and so on. So we will indicate that in the presentation. Another important outcome, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that as we investigate and we pick up that there's misconduct by board members, by the officials, executives, we then bring out the outcomes for disciplinary action to be taken. And we have done that. That will also be reported on. There are various matters that evidence has pointed to the Commission of Criminal Offences, and by law, we are required when we pick up evidence pointing to criminal action to refer that to the National Prosecuting Authority. Again, the presentation will indicate the number of referrals in that regard. There are also other referrals that we will be considering and making. At the extreme right there, although we've got SARS logo there, but it's really just as an example, we deal with other various regulatory bodies where we find that there are infractions relating to income tax. We refer to SARS. In this presentation, as the minister has indicated, we have also uncovered that there is use or abuse of law firms to siphon the money. So in that regard, we will be referring to the Legal Practice Council, which is the regulatory body for the legal practitioners. Now, at the bottom there, there's a systemic recommendations process that we do, and we'll also cover that at the end of the presentation, in which case where we refer our observations and where is it that we recommend that the system can be improved, be it people, process, systems, policies, and so on, including where our observations inform us where we recommend that the legislation could be reviewed. Thank you, Mr. Lukhetu. You can proceed. This takes us now to the investigations that we have conducted, Honorable Chair. You have already indicated that this is done in terms of that proclamation. I will not repeat that, but suffice to say at this stage, as you can see on the third line, that we commenced with phase one, that comprised of allegations, of course, that emanated from the reports that we received and some of the reports that Honorable Minister has reported to. There was a report that we also looked at that was issued by NEXIA, SAB and T. And at this stage, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, SIU has completed phase one of the investigation, which comprised of about 12 allegations relating to certain NPOs and NPCs. This investigation has been so intense, massive, and complex in terms of tracing the money, but the investigation will reveal that. We are just indicating there that the amount of money that was involved under investigation in phase one was about 279 million. In slide number 112, we will indicate the exact amount. We say there, of course, that the evidence has indicated that this money was corruptly siphoned out of NLC with the assistance of certain executives and certain board members, and the evidence that we have uncovered will be indicated in the presentation. We have commenced with phase two of the investigation, and that investigation is comprised of about 17 matters. We commenced with that on the 1st of March. And these 17 matters, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, they increased to about 24. And the increase is really because of continued allegations that we receive from various areas of the society, as the Honorable Minister has said, from members of the public, from media, and we are enjoined to then investigate those matters. And then there will also be phase three that will be investigated, which comprised of about 37 matters. We just did not indicate it there, but we will indicate it further on. If you slide down, Mr. Lukhetu. Honorable Chair, you've already covered this point that we were making here, the focus areas of the investigations, which is the investment of funds and how the money was allocated to various NPOs, and of course, evidence pointing that it was siphoned in a corrupt manner to enrich certain officials and certain board members. At this stage, Honorable Chair, I'm going to hand over now to Mr. Lakgetho, who will take the Honorable Committee through the investigation outcomes themselves. You will see, Honorable Chair, as you indicated, that this is a follow-up report to the Honorable Committee, and we have taken the approach, if you slide down, Mr. Lakgetho, we have taken the following format as to present. We have indicated to the committee that this is the individual consent, but as we slide down, we will show that this is the NPO consent or the executive consent, and this is the information that was reported previously to the Honorable Committee at the meeting held in the second of March. And on the right-hand side, we are saying, following the report we made in March, if we say no new information, it actually indicates that the investigation was complete and we didn't uncover any information, and that outcomes are now being executed. As you can see there, that the civil litigation underway. In some instances, we will show that there are disciplinary processes that we have indicated and so on. So that will be the format throughout the presentation that Mr. Lakgetho will present on. Mr. Lakgetho, can I hand over to you at this stage, please, to take the committee through the status of the investigation to date. Honorable Chair, thank you. Mr. Lakgetho, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Advocate, and also let me pass the greeting to the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Chair, and the Honorable Members of the Committee, and also to the Board Members of NLC, and to my colleagues present, and to everybody in the platform. I will be presenting and Chair. If I start, can I ask that also I switch off my camera so that I can see the bandwidth? And Chair, as I'll be starting, Advocate indicated, I think just to put context into the presentation, we have divided the presentation into categories. There's a former board members, and in the former board members, we've got former board member one and former board member two. And then we've got former executive members, we've got former executive member one and former executive member two. And we've also got other officials within the department. And also towards the end, now we'll also be presenting the NPO or NLC. So we're gonna start with the former board member one and highlight everything that relates to the activity that took place as a result of the former board member two. So as Advocate indicated, this is the first slide that just indicates the former board member two. And I'll just try and summarize the information that we previously reported on the 2nd of March 2022. You can see that in relation to this slide, former board member two, there was NPO five, which was hijacked. And if we go to the next slide, it will just indicate that the out of that NPO 5, which was hijacked, it was paid 23 million. And out of that 23 million, some of this money went over to the former board member 2. As you can see there, that out of that NPO 5, 9.2 million was transferred to a conveyance in Attorney, which was the money was used to purchase their house for a former board member too. Then slide number 13, also it shows the NPO 6 as presented previously. And this NPO also was given 15 million, which was approved. And out of the 15 million, 10 million was transferred to a company that is known by us. And out of that 10 million, 2.5 million was transferred to a conveyancing attorney, which was used for the purchase of a house for a former board member too. Slide number 14 also shows the NPO 7, which is the NPO 7 also, where it was also 20 million was approved for this NPO. And out of the NPO, out of the 20 million, the money was paid. As a result, the legitimate owner of this NPO realized that money was approved for the NPO. Then they went to NLC to complain and say they realized that their NPO has been given grant, but they are not aware of it. Then as a result, instead of the NLC member, the executive calling the NPO, the people that hijacked the NPO to say they must return the money, the executive, they decided to approve further 7.8 million to this NPO. And now this money was given to the legitimate owner of the NPO. The other money which was paid was left to the hijacked officials. And as a result, that money which was given to those NPO, that is 22 million, was used in order to benefit some of the executive of the NLC. Then still on the NPO 16, we can see that the NPO 16 was also given a grant to the tune of 13 million. And the new information is that the bank statement analysis of the NPO shows that 5.9 million was transferred to a company related to a younger brother of one of the NPO hijacking kingpin. What happens is that we identified that there were some kingpins, the people who were hijacking some of the NPO. The NPO will make application for funding and they will be rejected. And as a result, these people will resubmit the application, and subsequently some of this NPO will be approved. But they will change the details of the NPO, reflect new bank account where the money now will go to them. So that's how it is. Then on this NPO, 600,000 was paid to the conveyancing attorney, which bought a property for the former board member too. Then new information with regard to the NPO's NPC 17. On the 13th of November 2017, the NPC applied for funding at the NLC to organize a soccer tournament for Palabora Municipality. The grant funding of 4.8 million was approved on 20 November 2017, and the NPC received funding of 4.8 million on the 21st of November 2017. On the 23rd, 22nd, 23rd, and 27th of November, a total of 3 million was transferred to one consulting engineering entity associated with one of the NLC hijacking kingpins that we have identified. And on the 27th of November 2017, the entity transferred 2.7 million. And on 28th November 2017, 250,000 was transferred again to a conveyancing attorney for the purchase of a 27 immovable property for the benefit of a former board member too. We're still dealing with board member too. And all this NPO, they just reflect the money which was deposited for the purchase of immovable property for this former board member too. Then it should be noted that they identify hijacking kingpin and the wife to one of the former executive of NLC, a director of the NPC and signatory of the NPC bank account. That is the same NPC which was granted money, the former executive's of NLC wife is a member of that NPC. Then NPC 18, on the 12th of May 2017, the NPC submitted an application for funding to the NLC to construct a drug rehabilitation center for the community of social movement in Pretoria. The adjudication committee rejected the application submitted by the NPC as it did not meet the minimum requirement. Then on 14 July 2017, executive of NLC drafted a letter addressed to the chairperson of the NPC, informing the NPC that after careful consideration of their appeal, the adjudication committee decided to reverse the initial decision and approve an amount of 23.8 million subject to the terms and conditions of the enclosed, the one enclosed in the agreement. Then NLC and the NPC signed addendum C to the grant agreement on 21st May 2019. And in the addendum, an additional amount of 2.9 was allocated to the NPC. This is the very same NPC which was initially rejected. Then the executive wrote to them and say they have reviewed and they are now finding them. NLC paid to the NPC in three tranches. That is the money. The first one was 8.7 million. Then the second one was 7.9. Then the last one was 5 million, which was done on the 25th of January 2018. And on the 5th of September 2017, the NPC paid 1 million to an account identified as that of the conveyancing. Remember the conveyancing that we've been talking, money going through for the purchase of the immovable property for board member 2. The SM confirmed that the payment was part of the deposit for the purchase of the property on behalf of a board member 2. Then NPO 19. On the 15th of February 2018, the NPO applied for grant funding to NLC for renovation and refurbishments or to Majakane Sports Complex. And on the 22nd of February 2018, application was adjudicated and 15 million was allocated by the adjudication committee. A grant agreement was signed. 5.7 of the payments made to NPO was paid to an entity linked to NLC senior official. And the entity paid the following amounts to the conveyancing immediately after receiving that 5.7 million from the NPO. And on the 12th of March 2018, an amount of 900,000 and 1 million was paid, and also 450,000 was also paid to that conveyance in attorney, which was paying for the immovable property of the former board member 2. Then slides number 26, NPO 22. The NPO applied for funding on or around 19 October 2018 based on proactive funding. And the purpose of the application was to offer employment to the local community and training of local farmers. The application was successful. The NPO was granted 13 million. Subsequent to the approval of the funding, a grant agreement was signed on 19 November 2018. And on or around 6 December 2018, NLC paid the NPO 7 million. And around 20 March, they also paid another 6 million. The NPO transferred 650,000 and 500,000 to an entity situated in Pretoria. We know the name of the entity. The entity effected payment of 500,000 to a conveyancing on the 12th of December 2018 for the purchase of a furniture and appliance on behalf of former board member 2. They note that the note for the appliance and the furniture was part and parcel of the 27 million property which was purchased on behalf of the former board member 2. Then slide number 28, NPO 23. NPO applied for grant funding on 3rd October 2018 through an approved proactive funding proposal for agricultural farming in the Free State in September 2018. The application was successful and a grant agreement was signed in January, granting the NPO an amount of 16 million. The amount was paid into the NPO bank account. First tranche was 12.8 million and the second tranche was 3.2 million, which was done on the 2nd of October 2019. And on the 1st of February, the NPO transferred 400,000 to a known private entity. On the same day, the entity transferred 35,000 and 50,000 to a conveyancing referred for furniture and appliance for the benefit of former board member 2. And on 7 February 2019, the entity further transferred an amount of 260,000 to the same conveyancing agent. Now we're dealing with NPO 23, and on 25 January 2019, the other private entity received 2 million from the NPO, that is NPO 23. The entity paid conveyancing attorney referred to an amount of 14,000 on the 13 February 2019 for the purchase of furniture and appliance for the benefit of former board member 2 again. Then NPO 24, the NPO applied for funding in around 21st August 2017 to construct an all-age home in Dumbe, Zululand, KZN. The application was successful and the grant agreement was signed on the 27th of September 2017, granting the NPO 23 million. An amount was paid in four tranches, that is 20 million, 1 million times 3. Then on 11 October 2017, the NPO transferred 5 million to an entity known by SIU. And on 11 October 2017, the NPO further transferred 5 million to another entity known to the SIU. And it should be noted that this money was really not used for what it was intended to. Rather than it being used for what it's intended to transfer to a different entity. And upon receipt of the money from the NPO, the entity paid or transferred an amount of 4 million on the same day to a conveyancing towards the payment of the property which is owned by the former board member 2. Still NPO 25, which is slide number 33, the NPO also applied for a grant funding on 19 May 2016. The purpose of the application was to approve, was to provide this basic business skills and incubation around Mpumalanga. The application was successful and funded for 1 million, which was paid on the 15th of November 2016. The NPO paid 500,000 to a conveyancing for the purchase of an immovable property of trust where former board member is the sole trustee. The deal was cancelled and the money was transferred to the conveyancing, who facilitated the sale of 27 million property on the 2nd of November 2017 on the instruction of former board member 2. An entity owned by one of the hijacking kingpin also paid 470,000 to a conveyancing. Again, the transaction was cancelled and the money to the conveyancing, who facilitated the sale of the property to the benefit of the former board member 2. So all this shows money being given to the NPO, and after being given to the NPO, it's either the money is transferred to an entity and the entity transferred the money to the conveyancing attorney for the purchase of the immovable property for the former board member 3. Then the NPC 7 also applied for grant funding to NLC, and the application was rejected due to non-submission of mandatory documents such as business and project plans. And on 15 June 2016, the NPC submitted an appeal, and it was determined that the documents were indeed received, but were not scanned as they were not labeled properly. And on 23rd August 2016, the application submitted for re-evaluation, and it was discovered that the NPC did not submit progress report for other projects funded by NLC, which was done previously. The NPC again submitted an appeal as they alleged that the report was submitted. And on 19 October 2017, a review committee comprising of former board member 2 accepted the appeal, and 5 million grant funding was granted to the NPC. And on 26 October 2017, a grant funding agreement was signed, And on 9 and 11 November 2017, the NPC transferred 1 million and 1.5 million respectively to an entity that has the same directors and bank signatory as that of the NPC. Then on November 2017, the entity transferred 350,000 and another 350,000 and 300,000 respectively to another entity associated to one of the hijacking kingpins. And in November, the entity in turn transferred 300,000 and 100,000 and another 100,000 respectively to a conveyancing attorney for the purchase of the property on behalf of former board member 2. Then what happened after we have investigated, we launched an application whereby a preservation order and review application was done, and on the 15th of June 2022, the SIU obtained a preservation order to preserve the property registered under Nevutanda Investment Pty Ltd, where Professor Nevutanda is the sole director. Civil litigation is in the process is underway to review and set aside the grant funding contract of all the NPOs and the NPEC that contributed towards the sale of the property pages for the benefits of Prof. We are mentioning it, Chair, because this information is part and parcel of the is in the public domain because we have done the application. That's why it's been mentioned. Now, still on former board member 2, a vehicle 1 was purchased on behalf of the former board member 2. The SIU has identified that during the period August 2016, the former board member 2 purchased a Rolls Royce using fund from the NLC. An invoice dated 31 August 2016 indicated that 6.3 million was invoiced to the former board member 2 for the above mentioned vehicles. Notification of payments indicating the origin of the payment made for the purchase of the vehicle. The notification is tabled in the next slide. You can see here, Chair, that this is the notification which was made that on 18 April 2016, the recipient was Daytona Pty Ltd, an amount of 1 million was paid, then 6 May, another million was paid, 10 August 2016, another million was paid, and 1st September 2016, another 574,000 was paid, and 6 September, another 5 million was paid to this Daytona company for the purchase of the Rolls-Royce for the former board member 2. And as indicated in the table in the previous slide, payments for the former board member 2 Rolls-Royce were received from entity that has been contracted by NPOs and also received granting from NLC. A property purchase using the NLC fund, the NPO is 15. Then here, Chair, we are dealing with the NLC senior executive member. The NPO received a grant funding of 28 million for the construction of Vafumadi Secondary School in Limpopo. After receiving the first tranche of 20 million in 17 August 2016, the NPO transferred 15 million to the entity that transferred the money for the purchase of the property of former board member 2. Then on 31 October 2016, the entity transferred 1 million to the conveyancing, and the purpose of the payment was for the purchase of a property on behalf of the family trust. NLC senior official has been identified as a trustee of this trust at the time when the property was purchased. Then the NPO 5 was hijacked, and that the individual that applied for the grant funding are not the legitimate members of the NPO, that is NPO 5. And on 16 October 2017, the NPO received 20 million grant funding from NLC. And on the following day, that is 17 August 2017, the NPO transferred 5 million to an entity linked to the hijackers. Then the entity transferred 2.2 million to conveyance, to the conveyance and attorney on 19 October 2017 for the purchase of immovable property on behalf of the trust for the NLC senior executive member. And during the period in question, the brother and the wife of one senior executive or official of were trustee of the trust. Then on the senior executive, as previously, the senior executive of NLC was involved in a number of business activity. Then two disciplinary referrals were submitted to NLC, and the NPA referrals were done, and the pension of the former senior executive has been preserved based on some of the money that he has received from the NPO and NTC that received granting from NLC. Then as presented previously, you can see that these are some of the company that received money from the NPO that received granting from NLC, and those companies paid money to one of the trusts that is related to one of the senior executives of NLC. These are the amount that has been deposited into the account of the trust that is owned by the NLC executives. Then also from the trust that is owned by the executive of NLC, the money moved from the trust fund and it went to the private account of the senior executive of NLC. And these are some of the money that we managed to trace coming from the trust that is owned by the executive of NLC, that you can see that there's 240,000, there's 1.2 million, and there's the money that was used to purchase the restaurant, and there's also money which was deposited into different accounts and also to another different companies. Then we can see that the money in the next slide, let's go to the next slide, you can see that these are the money that has been also transferred into the senior executive of NLC. And all this money are coming from coming from the NPO and NPC that receive money from NLC. And the total money there is 34.8 million at the bottom. Then this information also was presented previously. We just take a snapshot of some of the money that came from those NPO into the trust and also to the NEC member. You can see that in 19 May, 303,500 was used for the payment of the school fees, and 803 was used for the maths lessons, and 100,000 was deposited in the bank account of the official, and 1.6 million was used for the was paid to the travel agency of the official's brother, and another 200,000 was paid to the family trust, and 101,000 was paid to the official's company, and 1.5 million was used for purchasing of a farming business, and 50,000 was paid to the official's family trust. This is how the money flow from the NPO, then to the family trust. From the family trust, then it goes to the members of the executive of NLC's bank private bank account. Then settlement of vehicles using the NLC funds. NPO 14 submitted application for grant funding to the NLC. NPO 14 was hijacked by several members known to SIU, and they submitted application for granting on the 5th of September 2017. and the NLC granted MPO 14 a funding of 23 million. Then it should be noted that the hijack letter applied for grant funding of 20 million, but NLC approved further funding and allocated to the NPO 23 million. And on 23rd October 2017, the NLC paid that 20 million to the NPO, and on 14 February, 1 million was paid, and also on March, another million was paid to the NPO, and the last million was paid on the 13th of March to the same NPO. And NLC later paid an additional 3.8 million to the same NPO that is hijacked. Remember, this NPO applied for 20 million, NLC approved 23 million, and on top of that, NLC paid another 3.8 million on top of that. Then on 18 June 2019, the NPO transferred 1 million to an entity linked to one of the hijacking kingpins, and on the same day, 330,000 was paid from the above mentioned entity to BMW Financial Service towards a balloon payment for a vehicle purchase by the senior executive of NLC. Then senior executive number two using NLC fund. We are done with NLC senior executive one, now on senior executive two. The investigation has revealed that the NPO 15 received a grant funding from NLC to the tune of 28 million for the construction of the Bafamadi Secondary School in Limpopo. And on 17 August 2016, the NPO received the first tranche of 20 million. And on 29 August, another 4 million was transferred. Then another 2 million was transferred also another 2 million was transferred to an entity linked to the same official. Then former board member one was appointed. Now we are dealing with the former board member one. We have dealt with the former board member two. We are far done with the former senior executive two, one. Now we are dealing with the former board member one, who also benefited from NLC. And this former board member one was also appointed as a non-executive member at NLC, which he presented previously. And this former board member one, he also part of the kingpin that hijacked the NPO one, which received 23 million from the NLC. And this former board member one also, he received another 5 million of the 23 million, which was given to the NPO one. Then, as we go on, we can see that the very same former board member one, with regard to the NPO two, he received close to 7.5 million out of the NPO 2 that received money from NLC. Then the very same board member 1, also he received 7.5 million out of the NTC 1, which also received money from the NLC. So this is the information that has been presented previously. I'm just trying to summarize. Then the 3.4 million was transferred to bank account of the company owned by the brother of the senior official of NLC. And on the following day, the same company transferred 1 million to the former board member one's bank account. The construction of this drug rehabilitation was still ongoing when the SIU visited the center in November 2021. But by that time, the money has already been depleted. Then still on the former board member one, the former board member one also received money which was given to the NPO 3. And it has been determined that NPO 3 received a grant funding to the tune of 8.8 million in 2015. Then out of that 8 million, 2 million was paid of the 5.8 5.4 million, which was paid to the former board member two, was paid into the personal bank account of the former board member one, meaning that former board member one also purchased a house with using the money which was received by the NPO from NLC. Then during 2015 and 2018, NTO 4 received three NLC grants to the value of 6.4 million, and NPO 4 transferred the 1.4 million to one known company, and on April, the known company transferred 1.9 million to one former board member's personal bank bond account also. So this slide 64 repeats summary of the NPO where board members and executives were involved. You can see the NPC 1.75 million grant funding was received. Then we've got NPC NPO 3 where 8 million grant was given. And we've got NPO 2 where 27 million grant was given. And we've got NPO 1 where 23 million grant was given. And out of that, we can see in the center that former board member one received, benefited from all this NPO that received money from NLC. Then this slide also shows summary of NPO where board member and executive were involved. You can see in the middle that this is a former board member two. And all in the circle, it shows the money that the NPO received together with the money that has been transferred to the board member too. This is how we have benefited. You can see NPO 8 there, but 55 million was given to the NPO 8, and out of it, the former member 2 benefited out of it. NPC 7, 5 million was given, and the former board member did benefit out of it. And all the benefits that they received have been outlined in the previous presentation that I presented. But this is just to repeat, to show the number of NPO and NPC that contributed towards former board member two. Then slide number 66 also is a summary of NPO where board member and executive were involved. Here you can see in the middle, now we are focusing on the senior executives, and these are the NPO and NPC that contributed towards senior executives of the NLC. You can see NPO 5, 20 million the grants they received, and out of it, there's a portion that have contributed towards the senior executives. NPO 15 received 28 million grants, and they also contributed to the senior executives. And NPO 13 received 20 million, NPC received 5.5 million, NPO 14 received 23 million. All of them had contributed towards the senior executive of NLC. And remember, we've got senior executive 1 and senior executive 2 that benefited out of all this grant funding. And mostly they were involved in the approval of all this funding to all this NPO and on NPC. Then also, still the slide number 67 depicts NPO where board member and executive were involved. You can see NPO 15 there, 28 million grant funding was received. And out of that, former NLC senior executive 2 received benefit out of that 28 million. So we have depicted it in our presentation just to dissect, to show how much each executive receives out of the funding. Then in terms of the new information, Credo Mutua project was a proactive funded project to build a museum and a library in honor of Credo Mutua in Gurumani, Northern Cape. NPO 13 received 22 million in two tranches, that is 12 million and 10 million. The chairperson of the NPO told the SIU that he received a call from a gentleman who informed him that he works with the NLC and that he was aware that NPO received a construction grant from NLC. he informed him that certain entity associated with NLC senior officials should be given the construction part of the contract. So what happened, the modus operandi is that they will, the NLC executive or officials, they will grant the NPO the money to say you must construct either the rehabilitation or whatever, and as a result, they will instruct them that you must appoint this company. And you find that the company disappointed is either linked to the official or to the board member or to the official of NLC. That's how the money, the benefit was transferred to them. That's what exactly what happened in this this NPO. Then the chairperson of the NPO is from the area where the NLC official come from. The SIU identified that the NPO paid an amount of 1.5 million to a construction company responsible for building the house of the NLC official in Pretoria. Criminal referrals have been submitted to MPA and civil process to recover the property is underway. The official resigned before the SIU could submit the disciplinary referrals to NLC. But as indicated here, as much as the official resigned, we did submit the criminal referrals to MPA and we will be recovering all the money that this official received. Then purchase of a property F1194 Peach Street on 5th September 2017, NPO 7 submitted application for grant funding to NLC for the purpose of construction of an all-age home facility in Moila Village in Limpopo. The NLC approved the application for the grant funding to the amount of 22.5 million. Then on 13 October 2017, that is 8 days after receiving payments from NLC, the NPO transferred 3.3 million to a known entity. The hijacking PIN has been identified as the sole director of the said entity that received 3.3 million. And on 23 October 2017, the entity transferred 830,000 in two tranches to a conveyancing for the purchase of a property on behalf of the hijacking campaign. And on 20 October 2017, 300,000 were transferred from the entity to the conveyancing administrators of estate. The transfer went towards the purchase of another property on behalf of the campaign. The purchase price for the property was 980,000. And NPO 15 applied for the funding from NLC on July 2016 for an amount of 25 million. The grant was for the construction of the school in Mashau Village in Limpopo. And on 17 August 2016, NLC paid an amount of 25 million to their account. And on 23 August, the NPO 15 transferred 15 million to a known private company into tranches, which is 14 million and 1 million. You can see that the money is transferred to a private company and is not used for the construction of a school. Then the NPO, as indicated, NPO 1, the money was transferred. Then we can see that referrals for former board member one has been referred to the national prosecuting for the prosecution and civil litigation to preserve property that was used, that property that was purchased using the money that was received from the NPO one is underway where we will be getting that property. And also here is the all information that we presented based on the financial investigation regarding the NPO 1. Then here we can see that the in October 2017 NPO transfer amount of 5 million to an attorney for the purchase of the property which is owned by the former NLC board member 1. So and almost 5.4 million was paid from different company that received money from the NPO, including the NPO 1. the construction of the old age, which was meant to be done by the NPO 1, commenced but remained unfinished to this date because the money was not used for what it was intended for. Then referrals for two individuals have been made to the National Prosecuting Authority, particularly based on the NPO 2, and civil litigation to set aside the grant award and preserve the properties also ongoing, because we discovered that the money was not used for what it was intended for, particularly in relation to the NPO 2. Still under the NPOs, NPO 2, yeah, it just outlined how much the NPO 2 received. They received 27.5 million and few building blocks were constructed in existing drug rehabilitation in Gauteng. The newly constructed structure are in poor quality and there is no value for money for that 27.5 million which was given to NPO 2. And remember, we are busy in the process of trying to set aside all this grant funding and to recover the money. And also, in this slide 77 outlined the financial analysis that we have presented previously for the NPO 2 regarding the 27.5 million that was paid them. And as you can see, that out of that 27.5 million, 10 million was paid to one known individual's personal account. 3.1 million was paid on the same individual's law firm, and 3.5 million was paid to the company owned by the brother to one of the senior officials of NLC. An NPO 2 bank statement revealed that two amount of 264,000 and 271,000 were used for the purchase of two food outlets franchise owned by the known individual. And also here, it is still analysis of the bank statement for NPO 2, where the bank statement further revealed that 5 million was transferred to one attorney for the purchase of 11 million farm. And it has also been determined that 200,000 was paid from the NPO 2 bank account for the purchase of the vehicle. This just shows how the money was siphoned out of NLC into the NPO rather than using the money for what it's intended, it purchase farm, purchase houses, purchase a vehicle. Then on NPO 6, the new update is that SIU has obtained a preservation order against the properties purchased through the NLC fund. An application has been drafted to review and set aside the grant funding contract for the money which has been paid to NPO 6. We can see that the application was close to 15 million, which was approved, and the money was misused. The project only started when NLC grant funding of further 4.2 million was paid to the NPO. The first 15 million was never used. They only started using the money for the project when NLC approved another 4.2 million. NPO 6 still ongoing on. Between 7 April and 2018 and 23 July 2018, a total amount of 110,000 was paid for car repairs and deposit for a vehicle on behalf of an individual known to the SIU. And on March 2018, the same individual purchased a vehicle to the value of 205,000 using the fund received from NLC. 58,000 was paid for a center known to the SIU on 30 March 2018. That is the money out of the NPO 6. 635,000 was paid to a businessman known to the SIU, and 2.2 million was paid to service a loan that the member had, and 182,000 was paid to the personal bank account of an individual mentioned above, and 2.1 million was paid to the entity. Other bank account held at a known bank institution, and 806,000 was used to purchase an IT software. Then on the NPO 8, the new information is that referrals to is to be submitted to the National Prosecuting, or referral is to be submitted to the National Prosecuting Authority, that is a criminal referral in relation to NPO 8, and civil litigation to recover the 10 million that was freely given to the company linked to the NLC official and the house bought using the NLC funds by NPO chairperson is also underway. This is NPO 8, which we presented previously. We can see that they receive a funding to the tune of 55.2 million. And here also, as indicated, the civil litigation is underway just to recover the money that was given to this NPO. You can see here the financial investigation breakdown of what the money was used. You can see there that 2.6 was used to purchase a property and 1 million was transferred to a call account of the loan entity. 2.2 million was transferred to another loan entity, and 341,000 was used to purchase a second-hand vehicle. So this is the breakdown in terms of the money which was given to NPO 8, how they used the money. And still go on, with regard to value for money, with regard to the 55 million which was given to the NPO, 200 boreholes in 5 different provinces were drilled and equipped with two private companies. One entity received 10 million for doing the work, for doing no work at all in terms of that 55 million which was given to this NPO. And with regard to the NPC 2, referrals for one individual has been made to the National Prosecuting Authority so that they should take action against the members that receive the money in relation to the NPC 2. Then NPC 2 still going on with regard to the finding that we have made out of the NPC 2. Then you can see here the financial analysis with regard to how the money came into NPC 2 and what was it used for. Then you can see that the money was transferred to companies or entities owned by individuals or close friends to the owner of the NPC 2 or the official of LLC, and 3.2 million was transferred to one entity linked to the known individual. 1.7 was transferred to an investment entity. 1 million was transferred to the trust account owned by the senior official of NLC and his family. This is a breakdown of how the money was utilized, transferred from the NPC 2. This is just still carrying on with regard to the breakdown as to how the money was transferred from the NPC. You can see here the big one, 1.5 million, was transferred to the senior official of NLC's family company, and 500,000 went to the company of the wife of the senior official of NLC. And with regard to the NPC 11, which was hijacked by non-individual, then we can go to the financial breakdown, slide number 91. Financial analysis of the money that went to NPO 11. You can see that 1.7 million and 500,000 were transferred to two entities owned by one of the known NPO hijackers. 1.6 million were transferred to one of the NPO hijacking key role player and close ally to the senior official of NLC. The entire amount was ultimately transferred to the entity linked to the family of the senior official of NLC, The entire ground was embezzled and no work was done at all with regard to the NPO 11. Then NPO 5, we can see that we have made disciplinary referrals for NLC senior official, was submitted to NLC for receiving a kickback in the form of a property. The official resigned before the disciplinary hearing could take place. There you can see how the money went through the NPO. They applied for a fund, for a grant, and they were approved 23 million. And financial analysis of the grant, you can see there that in October 2017, amount totally 11.7 million were transferred to the from NPO's bank account to a business account of private company. And between 19 and 27 October, the owner of the private company to transfer an amount of 9.2 million to a bank account of a conveyancing attorney for the purchase of the 27 million immovable property benefit from NLC former board member 2. The old age home construction that was started remained unfinished to this day, whereas the money was paid to this NPO. And NPO 7, you can see also there that they also applied for grant funding. As indicated previously, they were granted 20 million. And as a result, you can see that the legitimate member of the NPO became aware that NLC paid a grant to the value of 22 million. Then they approached NLC. Then NLC had a meeting with the legitimate member of the NPO and the hijackers. As a result, instead of an NLC executive to inform the hijackers to return the money, they further approved further funding to the NPO to say, here's another money, keep quiet, leave these people to go away with the 22 million that they have given to them. And they were quite aware that this 22 million was hijacked, the NPO was hijacked. So they didn't do anything out of it. They decided to approve further funding to this same NPO. And this is just to outline how the money was embezzled out of that 22 million. Then NPO 13, we can see that referrals for four individuals has been made to the National Prosecuting Authority for criminal referrals so that they must take action against that official. And civil litigation to set aside and to recover the money is underway in regard to NPO 13. And you can see that the NPO 13 received 20.1 million in two tranches, that is 10 million and 10.1 million. And you can see that the company appointed for the construction of the NPO 18, that is for the museum. The construction company was owned by cousin of one senior NLC official. An engineering company was owned by the brother of the senior NLC official. And company B was owned by the wife of the senior official. And the biggest chunk of the grant went to the above mentioned company. I think it just showed that, as indicated, that they will grant the fund to the NPO. As a result, they will instruct the NPO that you must appoint this construction company, you must appoint this engineering company, and you must appoint this other company. As a result, the money comes back to the official, but using this very same company that they have instructed that those NPO to utilize. So it still carry on with regard to the NPO 13. With regard to the breakdown of the money, you see here value for money. The project was completed, but the building structure does not correlate with the money paid to the NPO 13 by NLC. The SIU is in the process of acquiring service of a quantity surveyor to determine the value for money, to look at the money that is being paid in relation to the structure to see whether is there a correlation. But based on the observation, we can see that the money that has been paid is quite more than the structure that you can see down there. Then with regard to NPO 14, also referral to NPA, National Prosecuting Authority, is to be submitted by the 30th of October, and civil litigation to set aside the grant is also underway, whereby we will be getting the money, the 23 million that is being awarded to the NPO 14. This is just carrying on, just also to emphasize the point that I was making, that they will instruct the company, the NPO, that you must appoint so and so. You can see in with regard to this NPO, construction company for this old age, was the construction company was owned by a cousin to the NLC official. Engineering company still owned by one of the brother to the senior official of NLC. And company B also owned by the wife of the senior official of NLC. This is how the modus operandi was carried out. And here, value for money for NPO 14, you can see that the hijackers abandoned the project at the inception stage. They vanished with the 20 million paid by NLC. The project restarted only after further funding by NLC was granted. Despite this, the project remained unfinished. That is in relation to NPO 14. Then NPO 19, you can see also there in terms of the financial analysis that they were given 15 million grant funding. And as you can see, that the 6.6 million was transferred to the hijacker's law firm. This hijacker owned a law firm. Then NPO, in terms now, we will be discussing some of the matters that we dealt with in terms of phase two investigation that is currently underway. Then here we can see NPO 20. On the 3rd of July 2018, the NPO submitted application for grant funding at NLC for sport and recreation for an amount of 17.7 million. The application was adjudicated by an NLC member on 18 July 2018. The grant agreement of 17.7 million was signed between NLC and the NPO. Then the SIU interviewed one member of the NPO appearing in the application form. The member indicated that he was never involved in any non-profit activity of the said NPO or any other NPO. He further indicated that he gave one of the hijacking kingpin his identity document. The kingpin informed him that he will assist in finding a job for him. He was not aware that his identity document was used in an application submitted to the NLC for funding. The NLC paid the NPO in two tranches, that is 14.2 million, and then the second and the other second tranche was also paid on the 13th of January 2019. NPO 21, the NPO was granted funding by NLC to host a Diamond and Dorian Festivals, which was an annual event in Kimberley that took place in April 2017. The festival showcased local arts talent and skills and promote local product in Solplachi community. Solplachi municipality went out on a tender for service provider for the Diamond Dorian Festival. The SIU has interviewed a representative of Solplachi municipality who indicated that the municipality has no relation with the NPO and that the festival was owned and funded by the municipality. An analysis bank statement of the NPO indicated that the grant funding received from the NLC was transferred to individual or entity as follows. Entity owned by the hijacking kingpin, you can see that 678,000 was paid to them. And also entity owned by the hijacking team, again further 520,000 was paid. And the trust affiliated to the NLC senior official, 500,000. NPO 15 received 19,000. And a wife to the NLC official received 40,000. Service provider hired by the municipality to host the event, they only received 1,000. Then NPC 4, it was established that in March 2011, the NPC 4 was established. The purpose of the NPC was to impact skills in the following, that is music, business, video, film production, dance, and overall business of radio. And in April 2013, the NPC submitted the application for grant funding for arts, culture, and national heritage for an amount of $18.6 million. The purpose of the application was to assist youth, especially the unemployed ones in poor and rural areas of the country, to impact skill on music, business, video, and film and production, dance, and overall business in the radio. Then on November 2018, Distribution Agency Committee issued the special instruction or condition where the applicant were invited to do presentation on the project. And in March 2014, the DA issued the special instruction wherein the applicant was requested to submit a revised detailed budget of $9.3 million for the project. The project budget should cover all the nine provinces. The instruction that was that the project should cover all the nine provinces. The application by the NPC 4 was again adjudicated by NLC member and signed on 7 June 2014 for an amount of $9.3 million. The agreement between NLC and the NPC 4 was signed in 12 September 2014. NLC paid in two tranches, that is 4.6 million and we didn't indicate amount there. But the second tranches was 4.6 million, which was paid on 13 November 2015. So on this one, the investigation is still ongoing. We're still doing the analysis just to try and find out what happened to the money. NPC 5 and NPC 6, both NCC were registered in 2015. The member of both companies are linked to one NLC hijacking campaign. The NPC submitted the application to NLC the same day, that is October 2018. The NPC 5 applied to assist with social hygiene in Limpopo province. Then NPC 6 submitted the application for the same scope of work in the Eastern Cape province. NLC adjudication committee adjudicated the application on the same day, that is 1st November 2018, then NPC 5 was paid $7 million and the NPC 6 was paid $10 million. In terms of the financial analysis of the NPC 5, in November 2018, NLC made a payment of $7 million to the bank account of the NPC. Then on 3 December 2018, $500,000 was paid from the NPC to the bank account of conveyancing attorney that facilitated the purchase of a property on behalf of the former board member 2. And the matter is still under investigation in relation to this NPC 5. Then with regard to the NPC 6, between 14 December 2018 and 3 June 2019, $265,000 was paid from the NPC account to the hijacking kingpin. Then with regard to this also, the NPC 6, the investigation is still ongoing, where we are analyzing to see how did they spend the $10 million which was allocated to them. Then the total value of matters under investigation pertaining to phase one of the investigation, it is $279 million, and the investigation in relation to this focus area, which is phase one, is done. The interim report is to be submitted to the presidency on the 31st of October 2022. As indicated, Chair, during our last meeting, we were supposed to have submitted the interim report. But as we are doing the investigation, you will see, as I presented, that most of this NPO, they are interlinked to one another. As a result, we decided to say, let's finish all the investigation pertaining to phase one with all the entities that are interlinked to each other, so that when we submit the report, we submit a complete report that deal with all the activity pertaining to those MPO. As a result, we can indicate now that phase one is done, and currently the report is underway. We are reviewing it, whereby we anticipate that by the 31st of October, it will be submitted to the president. And with regard to phase two, as indicated, the value of matters pertaining to phase two is 246 million. And here we anticipate that an investigation will be finalized by the 31st of March 2023. And with regard to phase three, the value of matters for phase three is 905 million, of which this phase will only start on the 1st of April. And but currently we're still receiving some of the allegations that are coming in, and as indicated, there are close to 30-something matters that relates to phase three. And when we equate all the amounts, we can see that the total amount to over 1.4 billion of investigation of all the matters, the NPO that received money from the NLC. So the investigation is ongoing with regard to all those matters. Phase one is done, phase two is underway. We'll be finalizing it on the 31st of March 2023. Then with regard to the outcome, Chair, we have referred for disciplinary action. I've mentioned some of this matter through when we are busy presenting pertaining to some of those matters. But you can see there that a disciplinary referral letter was dated 13 August, was submitted to the Minister of Trade and Industry for former board member one. By that time, former board member one was still a board member, but based on the threat of evidence against him, the former board member tendered his resignation before disciplinary hearing can be effected. Then SIU also submitted disciplinary referral letter to NLC dated 27 August 2021 against one NLC senior official, that is an executive. Disciplinary hearing was conducted on the 17th of January 2022. This senior official was acquitted on the initial charge. Then the SIU resubmitted further DC referral, and he was subsequently charged and he resigned before the hearing could take place. This one is in relation to one senior executive. And also number three, SIU was in the process of submitting a disciplinary referral to the NLC board against the former one senior executive, that is senior executive number two, but the executive tendered a resignation with immediate effect immediately after the SIU called the executive for questioning. Then SIU referred evidence pointing to the Commission of Criminal Offence to the National Prosecuting Authority in relation for 13 individuals. You can see there that there's a former board member with regard to NPO. There are two individuals, NPO 13, four individual, NPO 15, there are four individual, former NLC executive two, and also to the MPC two, there's one individual that we have referred to NPA. And other criminal referrals are also under review by legal, where we will be referring some of those to the NPA. And with regard to preservation order, as indicated, on the 15th of June 2022, SIU obtained a preservation order to preserve the property registered under the Vutanda investment, where Professor Vutanda is the sole director. Civil litigation process is underway to review and set aside the grant funding contracts of all the NPO and NPC that contributed towards the sale of the property purchase for the benefit of the prof. Then I added this one, it's highlighted in red because it's another information that we've added when we have already submitted the presentation. Inqaba Yokulinda, two others, that's the case number there. And on the 9th of February 2022, preservation order was granted, and on the 3rd of June 2022, the consideration application judgment was reserved with regard to this matter. Then there are further 8 properties identified for preservation, and the process of preserving them is at an advanced stage where it will happen very soon regarding some of this property that has been purchased using the the NLC grant. Then I will end here and hand over to Advocate Mutivi to finalize in terms of the outstanding aspect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Advocate Mutivi, if you can then just conclude. Yes. I know it's Honourable Cuthbert, your hand, but I won't be taking questions now. Can we allow Advocate Mutivi to conclude the presentation of the SIU?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Appreciate that. Honourable Chair, as you can see when I opened, that this has been quite an intense and very complex investigation. The investigators under Mr. Lakgetho and Mr. Mashudu, they've really followed on an effective investigative methodology, as you can see. We have used trained methods and technology that led us to all this money that we have traced. This investigation also entailed meticulous analysis of bank accounts and payment processes from various banks, and we traced which accounts benefited and which ones benefited corruptly. The financial analysis and ultimately identify those who corruptly benefited, as I said. As we always do, and these matters will now be presented in all the forums where there's consequence management now, whether it's in the civil litigation process, whether it's in the disciplinary process, whether it's in the criminal prosecution stage, we are satisfied that the evidence we've gathered will stand judicial scrutiny or administrative scrutiny. Now, this slide that you're seeing, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, really just indicates to the Honorable Committee that the investigation has identified the methods through which these corrupt individuals use to siphon money. So this the so-called modus operandi used in siphoning the money, you will see, and you will have picked it up during the investigation. Misuse of proactive funding provision in the NLC Act, and we've indicated that to the NLC that process needs to be reviewed. We have also identified that inadequate project management, lack of monitoring and evaluation of those projects to ensure that they achieve the intended objective. We've also picked up collusion between NLC officials and NPOs and NPCs, collusion between some board members and NPOs and NPCs. There is just general abuse of NPOs and NPCs, including hijacking thereof. Honorable Chair, we've also identified that there's probably ineffective or actually absent of auditing of this project. And of course, just general maladministration in the approval of grants. And of course, also the use of trust and family members to defraud the NLC. As you would have seen, there's also abuse of firms of attorneys for this purpose. We will be in interacting with the legal practice council, as I mentioned when we started. As the Honorable Minister indicated, you can see that this is an organized syndicate meant to really siphon money from NLC. There's also a widespread misrepresentation amounting to fraud, and in that case, we identify it and we refer to criminal prosecution. The Honorable Minister indicated that this is the time now to pierce the veil and go in to ensure that those who are responsible are held to account. The next slide indicates, as I said, that there are several recommendations that we will do to NLC, so that the system can be improved. This is really just a summary of some of those. We, as we indicated, the process of dealing with proactive funding, we have really indicated that it needs to be reviewed so that the risks in there should be eliminated. All current proactive funding projects should be captured in the grant management system so that the system is designed in a manner that is unable at the moment. The system does not detect different applications for grant funding. We have then recommended the issue around integrated system. The next slide, please. Right. There's also just an observation, which is a recommendation, that the NLC system should be linked to the Department of Social Development, which is the authority dealing with NPOs and NPCs. In this way, you'll be able to track some of these irregularities between the two entities. Project management, monitoring and evaluation to be done for all funded projects. And again, the third bullet point is around policy of transferring money to NPOs in tranches and so on. So various policies need to be reviewed. We also say lifestyle audits to be conducted in the institution, and this would be a proactive measure to ensure that we detect some of these possible irregularities or possible instances where there would have been corruption and so on. The issue around segregation of duties, this is some of the recommendations we have made, because you will see that the abuse of the process does suggest that there are no checkpoints in terms of where approvals are made and no effective segregation of duties. Again, as we said, the public benefit tracking, this is non-existent at the moment, where projects are just left not concluded, but the money has been paid, and in that way, the public that these funds are meant for do not get the benefit. Honorable Chair, that's the end of the presentation. We really thank the Honorable Committee for the opportunity. We are available now to take any questions that the Honourable Committee members may have.
Thank you very much.